We sat down virtually with Ogden Clinic ENT specialist Dr. Nadeem Bakazi to talk about blind spots of the coronavirus, or points that often get overlooked by patients and the public. From positive aspects and what the next few weeks will look like to social distancing and precautionary advice, Dr. Bakazi shares great insight. Welcome to The Daily Diagnosis, a healthy lifestyle podcast provided by Ogden Clinic. We're your prescription for health-centered conversation, stories, and advice. I'm Parker Shaw, and with the help of my team and featuring the talented providers of Ogden Clinic, you'll reach a positive prognosis for your podcast addiction by listening to The Daily Diagnosis. Hello, hello to everybody that has tuned in and is listening today from home. We hope that you are all doing well. Wow, we are just really experiencing some weird times, and we really just hope that you are all staying healthy and safe. We wanted to extend a special thank you to those of you that are on the front lines, really helping take care of us, whether that's in a medical profession, grocery stores, or just any of those professions that cause you to be out on the front lines. We are so grateful for you and your sacrifice. So thank you for taking care of us, and we really just hope this podcast finds you well. For those of you that are tuning in today, our episode may sound a little bit different, and by that I mean our interview portion, because we have, in order to maintain social distancing, been doing our podcast virtually. So thanks to technology such as Skype and other sources, we're able to still meet with our doctors and continue the podcast. So thanks for listening, and here is Dr. Bakazi.
We're happy to have you here doing this via Skype. We have a lot of questions, especially with coronavirus, that we wanted to tackle today with your thoughts and opinions. Before we started the call, I thought it was actually really awesome that you thought about talking about some blind spots. And can you kind of just open that topic up of like what you kind of wanted to address today to our audience?
Certainly. So one of the main things that we're seeing with this kind of unusual times is information overload. We're seeing people get various reports off news entities, off their phone, and a lot of them are nerve-wracking. And so what we want to do is give them something digestible, practical, but also positive in outlook, because I think that's ultimately where we're going with this illness. I want to be realistic because there are some concerns, and we'll share some of that. But exposing a blind spot is really shining a light on an area that is very practically beneficial to patients that they may not otherwise know.
Perfect. And as we talked prior to recording, we wanted to talk about some of those positive points that may be overlooked currently. What are some of the positive points that are currently happening with our state with the coronavirus?
Yeah, so let me tell you, Utah is actually in a good position. We tend not to have a very high density of people like New York City, Los Angeles, or Seattle. We're seemingly have a milder version of the virus. So far, as we speak today, which is Monday morning, there's been north of about 150 cases that have been documented on the main websites. And there's only been one person who is unfortunately passed away. And our blessings to his family, because anyone right. that dies, it's a horrific situation. But for the population at large, I want them to know that for the most people are presenting very mildly. They're showing up in the emergency room and they're going home with a mild version of this. There are some cases that we do want to tell people are maybe more critical to be careful of. And that's obviously, it's been described older patients, meaning north of 70 years old, with any kind of comorbidities of high blood pressure, emphysema, or asthma, or diabetes. We want to be particularly careful with those patients.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I think that kind of gives us a peace of mind knowing that, you know, we should be careful and we will be careful, but recognizing that, you know, we do have some, there's a silver lining with everything. Okay, well, as we were kind of talking before we started as well, you mentioned kind of I'll just kind of delve into kind of the question that I sent you. Sure. Where would you say you think we are on the coronavirus curve?
Yeah, so I still think as we speak today, there's an escalating number of cases. But realize in a parallel development, we're working hard to get people tested and also to get people treatment that is off-label at this point, but is shown to be so far effective. And that involves a medication called hydroxychloroquine, which is being used off-label in many of the hospitals to reduce the inflammation, and also combine it possibly with an antibiotic like Z-Pak to reduce the inflammation that's occurring at the lung. one of the important points, Parker, is to talk a little bit about what's going on with therapy, that there's two main avenues that therapy is geared towards. The first one is to reduce viral replication, which is really part of the antiviral move that's going on. There are some new drugs that are being tested on a compassionate basis in Washington State that are showing a huge amount of promise. And the second category is making sure that we attenuate the body's inflammatory response so it doesn't damage your own lung tissue. And that's where the hydroxychloroquine and Zithromax seem to be showing some significant benefit. But realize this is early. We want to get a little bit more data, which is what's being
going
in the clinical trial. But so far, there's been some very good news. So I don't want people to leave this conversation thinking that there's no therapy that can occur or can be helpful for patients.
Okay. Yeah, that's news to me. I hadn't heard of those different therapies or those different options. So I think that's great for people to hear and know about. Okay. So on top of that, what other efforts are being taken for us to minimize exposure?
Yeah. So this is a really important point that I think exposes maybe some light on something people didn't know. You definitely want to keep grandparents or older parents away from anyone who potentially could be sick. And what I mean by that is some practical considerations is keep in the mudroom decontamination things like Clorox wipes, hand soap, and masks. So anyone that comes into the house for older parents and patients, that they basically stay away from them or at least do their maximum to protect them. I think for the next 2 to 4 weeks, it's really important that people try to quarantine their grandparents. That's significant because if we can prevent exposure, that's the best way to help improve the situation.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's not easy. I feel like, so I've been, me and my wife were out of town and the self-quarantine is very difficult, but I think it just gives so much peace of mind knowing that you're making an effort to, you know, stopping everything that's going on. So kind of taking a different approach to the conversation, we wanted to also kind of discuss, you know, what happens if somebody is diagnosed? What steps are taken?
Yeah, so it's going to range in terms of mild, moderate, and severe. So I want people to understand that about 80% of patients will have a mild presentation. It'll feel very flu-like. Most of the time, it's going to be a moderate to high fever, muscle aches, and maybe joint aches, as well as mild shortness of breath. Now, I think it's important for people to understand not to run to the emergency room the moment this happens, because most of the times the emergency rooms are just going to send people back home. Where I would be concerned is if those presentations progressed and became more moderate or severe. Shortness of breath worsened, it was tough to get a breath, and particularly in patients with asthma, where their traditional inhalers did not seem to be helping them, I think they should at least be seen in the ER where the emergency room can stabilize the situation. Most likely, they're going to be sent home again unless they feel that their shortness of breath is showing up with what we call hypoxia or lower oxygen, where patients are progressively getting worse. Now, I want people to also understand if they go home, that's not the end of the vigilance. You have to really be careful of a secondary pneumonia, and that would be that the symptoms would be worse. Chest pain or tightness in the chest that would be worsening, shortness of breath would be worsening, and the fevers would continue. We want them to call their primary care doctor or come back to the emergency room to make sure they get antibiotics. It's important to understand that bacterial pneumonia, can cause a lot of damage in people who have already been hit with the virus. So I think that's a key point.
Perfect. So I guess then the very first step that people should do is kind of gauge where their symptoms are, whether they be more mild or moderate, and then either call their primary care physician to see what the next step should be, or if it is quite severe, then make the decision of from where to go from there, correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay, perfect. So let's see, you kind of touched on this a little bit about visiting the elderly, quarantine, doing a quarantine with them. Are there any other precautions we should consider when we have those, we have members of our family that are in those age ranges that we should take into consideration?
So I want people to also understand there's a number of other viruses out there beyond the coronavirus. Obviously, everyone's concerned about the coronavirus, but the mortality overall remains low from that. But realize there's also metapneumovirus, there's parainfluenza that cause bad upper respiratory symptoms, as well as traditional influenza. And those are some things we can do things about. You can take Tamiflu for regular influenza. You can take a variety of over-the-counter medications, including steroids, to help alleviate some of the symptoms of these other viruses. The only way you're going to know what virus it is to be seen by your doctor or emergency room doctor or clinic doctor, and they will conduct testing. They can do a nasal swab for the regular influenza, but most of the time, they're not going to be able to immediately get a diagnosis of the coronavirus. That's important for people to understand. Do not go in the ER thinking you're going to know within an hour whether you have it, at least as of the time we're recording this. I know nationally, the government is trying to do on-site testing within 1 hour, but that still has not reached us locally at Ogden Regional and McKady Medical Center.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, kind of just talking about some more blind spots, are there any other blind spots that you'd want to cover as we're kind of, those are kind of the questions that I had prepared. Are there any other things that you or topics you'd want to talk about with regards to the coronavirus?
Just the main one is that you're going to see rising numbers, and I don't want people to be overly concerned because realize diagnostic testing has not kept up with the actual numbers of cases that are out there. And so you really got to avoid big gatherings, big family gatherings or big public gatherings. I think it's really important. A message to the young people, I have three teenage kids. It's really important for them to understand that they're as susceptible as getting this as other people are, and they need to avoid big groups of friends. And so I think it's a time for young people to consider it seriously. Realize, Parker, we're seeing reports about people going to the beach in Florida and California. And what we don't want is just a pandemic spread among younger people, because what that's going to do is now overload the emergency rooms. And that's going to be a big problem. So I think that's an important point to make. The other one is you're going to see over the next couple of weeks, some drugs are going to start to get approved. They're just getting enough data from the FDA to make sure that they're safe. And I think that the curve will start to bend significantly as everyone's talking about flattening the curve or bending the curve. So I'm really optimistic, as well as the final point is we're going to run into some warmer temperatures in the next couple of months, which will also help. Just traditionally, the flu doesn't spread quite as well when it gets hot. So those are all points.
That's what we hope. Yeah. Thanks for bringing those up. Yeah. I think one thing that's been kind of interesting in some conversations that I've had with my own family is, you know, what does social distancing mean? Does that mean just staying home and avoiding everybody? Some people kind of feel like it's more lenient, like, oh yeah, you can just get together, just have small groups. But, you know, I think I read something today that kind of just says, you know, if you don't see them on a regular basis, or if you're not living with them, you should just avoid people. What do you think about that in your personal opinion?
I think it's accurate. What people have to understand is this virus is contagious, meaning that it does spread with a high frequency. It's about three times as much contagious as the flu is. But what's interesting is it doesn't often present for the first 5 days. So you could be around people that don't have symptoms that may be carrying the virus. And that would be hard to know because they're not going to be having fever, shortness of breath, or a cough. You may just run into them, maybe use the same utensils or touch the same things, and you may end up getting it. So I think it's really important to have very good hand washing. Try to avoid bigger groups of people because obviously your rates of exposure go up. But having said that, you can go out and go for walks. You can go for bike rides on your own or with a friend at a distance. I think you can still be outside. It doesn't mean you have to be locked in the room, but it does mean that you can't just carry on business as usual.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great things to say. Is there anything else you'd like to close with or any other points that we might have overlooked?
No, I just want people not to be fearful. I think I understand there's a lot of cause for concern, but let's be practical and address it head on. I think good news is going to be coming. You're going to hear the doomsday people talk about this and that, but I think you're going to find some good news coming up and just stay vigilant, but also, you know, be wise. If someone's sick, be respectful of others, put on masks, use good hand washing, isolation, all will help. And I think we're going to be able to overcome this. I think if we were to do this a couple of weeks from now, the story will be a little bit different.
Well, we'll definitely have to check in a couple of weeks, and we hope that things do start looking up. And thank you for your optimistic attitude. I think that really will bless people with a little bit of peace of mind. For those of our viewers that are watching, this has been Dr. Nadim Bakazi from Ogden Clinic. He's one of our ear, nose, and throat specialists for Ogden Clinic. Very talented indeed. For more information about coronavirus, we're going to be posting frequently throughout the week on our podcast, which is called The Daily Diagnosis, which is available on Spotify, iTunes Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, and then on our social media as well. And we'll be checking in frequently with different providers over the next coming weeks to hopefully get you the information that you need to keep you safe and give you peace of mind as well. So Dr. Bekazi, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time to set this up. We're really excited that we could talk to you and let us know if you need anything.
Thank you, Parker, for all your talents to communicate this to everybody. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, let us know if there's anything else, but take care. We'll talk to you later.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. We're so happy that you joined us today. If you would like to find more information about Ogden Clinic, our providers or locations, visit us at ogdenclinic.com. If you're listening today from Apple Podcasts app, make sure you leave us a review or subscribe so you can receive more information about the different episodes that we post. We love getting feedback from our audience, so those reviews are priceless to us. If you also would like to shout us out on social media, our Instagram handle is at Ogden Clinic. You can also send us a DM if there's a topic that you would like our providers to cover, and we really look forward to hearing from you. We post episodes weekly, so tune in next week, and we can't wait to be with you again. Have a great week.